Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here. Always a pleasure to be with you, as it is today. Steve Del Bianco is our guest and our good friend, and now in our seventh year of association with Steve and his fine organization, along with Jonathan Zook and all the others over at the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve Del Bianco, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Are you ready for six more?
Oh, yes. I'll follow you anywhere.
Hey, Steve, what's the news? Quickly, before we get into anything else, let's cover the current news, which is the Research in Motion case that I know you know about. The folks who make BlackBerries, a Canadian company that make BlackBerries, and of which I am an owner of one. Mine is a telephone. I can get email. I can surf the web if I want to. It's my contact information. Has my contact information and all that. But there's a lawsuit that was filed, that has been filed. It's been going back and forth with a U.S. company, and I think you and I talked about it a little bit the last time. Where is that case right today?
Jim, Research in Motion, or RIM, who's the owner of the BlackBerry, is fighting to make sure that it can keep its service on, because the owner of the patent has said that they're seeking an injunction that would stop RIM from using a patented technology. And the status of that case today is the judge has not granted the injunction.
Is RIM infringing on their patent, or are they abusing a license to the patent? Which one is it?
It turns out it may be neither. When served with a letter from the patent holder a few years ago, RIM basically ignored them. And I don't know if it's because they thought the patents were no good or if they were just too busy.
But they were
that was an expensive mistake.
They were challenged, though.
And
right?
It turned out that over the past several months, the patent office has said, oops, we messed up to every single one of those patents.
Turns out RIM was right.
For all the wrong reasons.
Right.
Right, because at least the evidence that I've seen suggests the RIM didn't really pay attention. Mm-hmm. And it's important to pay attention. If somebody asserts property rights, such as a patent or copyright, you're always well served to pay attention, because those are important intellectual property rights. They need to be protected, and you'll pay the price if you don't heed those letters.
So you're saying that RIM was right, but only by dumb luck.
Exactly. And okay. It's good for all of us, because we want better quality for patents that are issued in this country. And
counting on dumb luck is not a good business model.
It's not. Absolutely not. But I'd rather be lucky than good any day.
Yeah. But that's a pretty huge operation up there to be wandering around based on that kind of hoping for that kind of serendipity.
And I think that they're forewarned now, and they'll pay a lot more attention the next time one comes along. But the good news is, I think out of this, we'll have an improved patent system. The Patent and Trademark Office fixed a few mistakes, but they really need to work harder. They need to spend more of the money they get on better quality examiners who have to take their time and examine the prior art before they just willy-nilly grant a patent. Because when a bad patent makes its way into the system, it messes it up for all of us, right? It devalues the value of true patents that are out there, and it causes a lot of disruption for companies like RIM and customers like you.
Well, did RIM actually try to get a patent, or were they just using technology they developed that may have been infringing on this other patent?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Okay. Well, did the American company, do you think they're going to get anything out of this?
I think they will not. If the patents they're seeking to enforce have been ruled invalid, I can't see how.
What a roller coaster ride they've been on. I mean, they've gone over the last year or so from thinking that they had somebody was infringing on them to then thinking they were going to be rich to now
they still be rich. I mean, this is all about maneuvering for a settlement. When a company that sues to stop them from using the patent, they're attempting to force the leverage that they have so that they can get an appropriate licensing deal.
Did RIM ever try to settle this?
I believe they did, but
the other company
they haven't been motivated enough.
Yeah.
And now I hope they won't have to, because patents that were revoked are not patents that should be enforced.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So this may be a case of dumb luck on the part of RIM's side, and then on the other side, Steve, it might be a case of greed where the American company should have taken what was offered to them.
I'm going to add a third party. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office was sloppy.
Yeah.
And that could be the core of this problem. I wouldn't call it greed if an inventor who struggles for years to come up with a technology seeks and obtains a patent and
right.
then tries to enforce it.
No, I agree with you. But my point is, if they had an offer and there was any doubt about whether they were, you know, they could enforce their patents, they might should have taken the bird that was in their hand.
Hindsight 2020.
Quick break. Right back. We're going to talk about the real estate industry, and I'm going to ask Steve if they are restraining competition. 20 till. Stay with us.
Of your heart strength that plays soft and low. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
that's what I want.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Steve DiBianco is our guest. He's with the Association for Competitive Technology, actually vice president, and one of the top leaders of that fine organization. Steve, tell us about the Association for Competitive Technology.
Trade association of IT companies, entrepreneurs who develop software, do training and consulting on computer-based technology, Jim. We have members here in the United States, also a growing cadre of members in Europe, and our website's www.actonline.org, and small members can join for free first year. Please take a look at our website and join.
And folks, at first blush, you might be saying, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, let me tell you something. If you use technology, if you're a consumer of technology, and if you're in business, you are, whether you know it or not, whether you've thought about it or not. I can't imagine any business these days that doesn't use some technology. Well, there are public policy issues that pop up from time to time, or maybe all the time, depending on which issue you're talking about. That affect the technology that you use and the people who make that technology and the people who want to grow that technology and the people who want to compete against that technology, maybe to offer you another deal, a better deal. And so one of the things that Steve and Jonathan and the others do there, Jonathan Zook at ACT, is they make sure that small businesses aren't harmed in some of those decisions. They're there to put our best foot forward. And Steve, on behalf of my audience, we thank you for that.
Hey, and thank you, Jim, for highlighting the issue so often as you do.
Well, I think it's important, and which brings us to another issue, which is a controversial issue. In some ways, it's controversial, but to me, it's not all that controversial. And that's the issue of modernizing the way consumers have access to real estate information and to be able to buy real estate. Now, I'd like for you to give us a little tour of where the real estate broker industry is generally in the country on this issue.
Most homes are bought and sold through realtors, and realtors are licensed brokers who are members of a chapter or a branch of the National Association of Realtors, and they have done a fabulous job. That's a trade association of professionals. And they've done a great job of building a database called the Multiple Listing Service, or
mm-hmm.
the MLS.
It's very handy.
They didn't build it for you and me, Jim. They built it for themselves to make it easier for them to cooperate in lining up buyers and sellers and to make sure that they got compensated.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you talk to NAR, or we call them NAR, whenever you talk to the National Association of Realtors, they always say that the MLS is theirs, and it is, and it was built for cooperation and compensation. So it really was never intended in their minds to be turned around and leveraged into helping us get information about the homes we want. They want to control that information.
But that does happen. But I mean, if you work with a realtor, they do use that listing to help you find what you need.
And
the house
what
you
want. Prefer, exactly, Jim. And they'd prefer to be the gatekeeper. But information wants to be free, and the Internet has really changed everything. So I was part of a company in the late 90s called eRealty. And we became regular realtors, but we used incredible amounts of technology to take the listing information in the MLS and make it available in innovative ways to potential home buyers, and then use it to use technology to schedule the appointments, to do searches on the schools surrounding the homes you were looking for, to send you emails with pictures anytime a new house came available in the MLS that fit your profile.
So you're talking about looking for housing, shopping for houses, not unlike the way people shop for clothing and cars and things like that.
Right. And,
and the comfort of their home.
Right, and you might do it with a car, but you're bound to seek the help of a professional before you actually drive off the lot.
Right.
And that's precisely what we did at eRealty. We were regular realtors when it came down to showing you the house and negotiating. But all the research that went in before then, we made sure that we used the Internet, so we made it convenient and accessible to consumers today who might want to look at pictures and neighborhoods and maps, and they might want to look at it at midnight. They might not want to drive around with a realtor.
Exactly. Well, the thing is if there are 20 houses that are possibilities, I don't have to go to 15 of them to rule them out if I can see a picture of them and know that that master bedroom's not going to work, or to know that that master bath or the closets are not going to work or whatever. I can do that by using technology and save a lot of time.
Right, and our listeners know that the realtors today make the listings available online.
They do.
Things have changed a bit, but listen to this. eRealty, the company I described earlier, we did it at a discount. We listed them
because you saved money in the making this information available to consumers. You saved money, and so you tried to pass that along to your customers.
Exactly, and it was our way we would gain an entry into the marketplace. So we
what
listed
happened?
Homes
what
at 4.5%, and we gave a 1% rebate back to the buyer who used our service. And lo and behold, it didn't take long before the Austin, Texas Board of Realtors tried to shut down eRealty, saying that there was copyright infringement. And it was really punishing, blatant punishment for the discounting that we did. The good news is that eRealty sued them back, and then in the year 2000, we got the judge in that issue to conclude an antitrust violation and said that eRealty delivered information online, and that can't be treated any differently than the way a realtor might convey that same information on a bunch of printouts.
So realtors in Texas trying to maintain a 6% standard commission and trying to prevent anybody else from discounting off of that commission were practicing antitrust practices. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and in that case, it turned out pretty well. But the realtors didn't stop there. I mean, since the year 2000, they've taken multiple additional steps and making it much more difficult for technology-based discount realtors to get into the game.
How have they done that? And when we come back, you have to tell us that when we come back. And the main thing, folks, is when we come back, I'm going to tell you about two other industries that have gone through something similar. And when you hear about them, you'll realize that you're in better off because of the changes that were made. And it's probably true of the real estate industry as well. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Steve, there was a time when if you wanted to buy a ticket for an airline, you just about had to go through a travel agent. And technology and innovation came into play, and the industry changed. And it basically turned the travel agency business upside down. Some of them didn't make it, but many of them did, and now they're better off for it. And I've spoken with them, and they like their new world. They like what they're doing now. They like the fact that the innovation actually gave them new opportunities that they hadn't thought about before. I don't know how the stockbroker folks feel about innovation that has happened in that industry, but I do know that in both of those industries, the travel agency, the you and I buying tickets, airline tickets, electronically, and you and I being able to trade electronically if we want to, without a stockbroker sitting at our table, has made things better for you and me if we want to be able to do that. Innovation has given us more choices, and in many cases has saved us time and money. I think that there's plenty of innovation that can be acquired by the real estate industry for real estate consumers that are not is not being possible, made possible right now. And that's what you were speaking to a minute ago. And I'd like to see the same kind of innovation be applied to the real estate industry.
And Jim, the effect might be that we'd see a different scenario, because in the last 5 years, home prices have roughly doubled.
Yep.
At least where I live, and that means commissions have doubled in the last 5 years.
A Wall Street Journal article I read said that an awful lot of the housing bubble today has been contributed by doubling up on the commissions, you know, in all the different ways, all the different times that the houses have turned. That a lot of the bubble has been attributed to the commissions, not the value of the property.
Well, that may be true. But I certainly know that over 5 years, we have not seen a doubling of the work it takes for a realtor to sell a house or help a buyer get one.
Right.
In fact, more than two-thirds, according to NAR, more than two-thirds of home buyers today do use the Internet as part of their search, research, mapping, and driving around. So they're already doing some of the work that realtors used to have to do. So tell me why. Why is it that commissions have doubled in the last 5 years when they should have actually come down?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of explicit and some very hidden and implicit restraints on competition. The realtors do it, and they get a lot of cooperation from state lawmakers.
So you're saying that the innovation is there, and the consumers are using the innovation, but they're not getting the break that they're getting in other industries.
That's right, and you can't paint all realtors with the same brush. There are many startup realtors who are using
technology. We're not talking about individual realtors here. We're talking about the industry.
That's right, and the industry itself is where reform will have to come from. It's as if they don't allow innovators within the realtor ranks to come up with new business models and pricing models, they're bound to get reformed by the government. And the U.S. Justice Department has sued the National Association of Realtors. I'm actually a witness in the case. And they've sued them for antitrust violations for the rules they have that inhibit discount realtors from using the Internet to do referral fees for listings mm-hmm. and to show listings on what's called a virtual office website. And that case is ongoing. They're only in discovery now, and I'm sure that it'll be in the news, and I hope you and
when do you think it'll be culminated?
You know, with most cases, there's an awful lot of the paper wars as they go through discovery and witness interrogation, and that will take several months. It'll probably be later this year or
but it'll
early
be,
next
it will be an, you think it'll be in 06?
I do. So
but now,
make sure
but
we
if,
get back
if,
on
the
air to talk about it.
If the NAR loses that case, that's a paradigm shift in that industry, isn't it?
It is, but there's a couple of other places the battle has to be fought. At the state government level, there are four states and potentially two more who have state regulations for minimum service rules.
Mm-hmm.
What's this mean? It's a state regulation that says that anybody who buys or sells houses as an agent in the state must be a licensed broker. Mm-hmm. And as a licensed broker, you have to adhere to these minimum service rules, meaning you're not allowed to just put somebody in the MLS, put up a yard sign, take your money. Mm-hmm. You have to actually provide timely presentation of written offers, mm-hmm. handling of money, preparation of HUD forms. And while that's good service, there should not be a requirement. It's really designed to eliminate and punish
right. the innovators.
Brokers who offer a discount-based services or what are called a la carte services as opposed to a blanket 6% commission to the seller.
The situation, we got to wrap it up, Steve. These are 21st century opportunities out there waiting to be taken advantage of. We've got to get rid of these 20th century practices, and the real estate industry is coming, I'm afraid. Hey, Steve, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Happy Valentine's Day,
Steve
Jim.
Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.